This is Cynthia Ganoff, and you are listening to the Mesmerized Podcast. Hey, friends, welcome to the podcast. Glad you're here today. I was in College Station, where my middle goes to college, this last weekend, and I was speaking to some amazing women at Grace Bible Church, shout out, and I was made aware that not everybody knows I have more than one podcast. So I'm going to start with a little PSA, just if you're interested. I am on a show called Sidetracked with Heather McFadden, and it is literally us being sidetracked by all things in life, and it's silly and technically under the comedy section of podcasts. And so if you're looking for something funny to laugh at with minimal useful value, that's the one for you. I'm also on one called Feeding the Mouth That Bites You, and that is for anyone raising teens. And Dr. Ken Wilgus, psychologist, amazing. He's an author. He feeds into, literally, no pun intended, how to raise teenagers well. And so I'm on that one kind of just as a host. And then obviously you're here, you know about Mesmerized. So I am going to tell you a story that I also told on Sidetrack. So if you do overlap between the two, you're probably going to hear this twice, but I'm going to share this with the Mesmerized family because I think you'll laugh and a lot of you will relate to this. But I have put a girl through college, and I've gone to visit her at college many times, and I just went and visited my son. And there's a big difference between visiting a girl in college versus visiting a boy, your son, in college. And so when you go visit a girl, like when you pull up in front of her apartment or house, whatever, she knows you're there. She's already waiting out front. She's giddy. She's been following you on Life 360. She runs out, usually with a friend or two, so excited, telling you about dinner reservations and all the friends she wants to take to dinner with us, and that she wants to run by this boutique she knows you're going to love. And then before you go in, she wants you to see the new jeans she bought, and do they fit okay? And it's a whole thing. You go to dinner, and afterwards, they have their favorite cookie place, and it opens at 8, and you go over there, and then you go watch the sunset somewhere with a cookie in hand. And then you go back to her house and you stay there because, mom, why would you want to stay in a hotel? Like, this is how this whole thing goes. Well, I pull up this weekend to see my son. I went a little bit early before I spoke this weekend in College Station. And I texted him and said, I'm here. And he's like, oh, I forgot. I have a test I have to take online. I'll be done in a few minutes, next 20 minutes or so. Okay. Then he comes down, he gets in the car. He's like, sup, mom. And I said, okay, where are we going to dinner? And he started with a reference to maybe going to Chipotle, to which I made a reference to driving back home if he didn't come up with something a little better. And so he thought and thought, and finally he came up with a place. And I figured out he was trying to find a place where he would not be caught on a Friday night with his mom, looking like he was on a date with her in College Station. So we went to this quaint, amazing little Italian place, kind of far from campus, and we had a great time. And I asked him a lot of questions, and here's the thing about boys. They don't want to answer a lot of questions. You have like 5 max, and you know that you've asked too many questions, or at least I know with my son, when he starts repeating the question. So I say, do you feel like you've made a lot of friends? I don't know, mom. Do you feel like you've made a lot of friends? Okay. Have you changed your sheets? I don't know, mom. Have you changed your sheets? All right. Well, that's the end of that. So we finished dinner and we are leaving. He says, all right, you ready for me to take you back to the hotel? And I was like, it's 7:05 PM. Like, wasn't going to go to the hotel yet, but okay. So I said, give me a flavor of the town, of college life, of College Station. So I wanted kind of a little tour, maybe see some of his favorite spots on the campus. He drove me by the Crunch Gym. Yeah, where he works out. We went by a driving range. And then finally he said, oh, I know. I've got the perfect place. I thought, okay, he's finally got what I'm looking for, the taste of campus life. And we ended our tour at Academy Sports Goods, the sporting goods store. So that was kind of how it went, everybody. And I loved every minute with him, but that's the difference between visiting a girl in college and visiting a boy in college. But I love them both. So fun weekend. And this weekend I'm going to Memphis. And so if you're in the Memphis area, DM me and I will let you know a few details on that. So all of that being said, today we have Carrie Kompakis with us, and I got to go spend some time with Carrie in Birmingham with her a couple of months ago, and we taped a few shows, and she's going to speak into raising girls from a girl's perspective and soft skills. What are the soft skills our kids need? And I'm going to weigh in a little bit on the boys and raising boys. And it's just a fun conversation. We're doing 2 weeks with Carrie Kompakis. We taped 2 shows. So this is the first one. And then next week, we will have our second edition. So I'm thrilled to have her with us. I am a big fan of Carrie Kampakis, and I know you will be if you are not already. So let's kick it off today with Carrie Kampakis. Carrie Kampakis, we are together in the same town, in the same room. Finally.
Finally. I know. I feel like we've already met before, but I guess we haven't.
I know. So, my friends that are in town with me, everyone, so you know, I'm in Birmingham, and I may never go back to Dallas because it's so beautiful. Oh. And so here we are in Carrie's house. My friends are like, have you not met before? I said, yeah. And then I was like, I'm not sure we have. We've done a lot of work together. You are sweet and endorsed my new book, and we've podcasted together, and we've talked on the phone, but this is it, our first meeting.
I know. You got to visit Mountain Brook.
Oh, my goodness. So, guys, if you haven't been to Birmingham, it's time for a trip to Birmingham, especially in the fall. It's beautiful.
Yeah, it is. It's November right now. I think we're airing this in the spring, but right now it's November, and the leaves are beautiful. This is one of my favorite times of year.
Yeah, so pretty. Okay, so it's fun that we decided we want to do something together, and we were going to tape some shows and release them on both of our shows, which is super fun. Yeah. And so two podcasters trying to not interview each other is going to be interesting.
I know.
The hope is it's just a conversation today. But just so everybody kind of knows, if people are listening to yours and not mine or vice versa, let's just tell everybody and each other kind of where we are in life with kids and all the things.
Okay, I have four girls. They are ages, 15, my one left at home, 19, a freshman at Auburn, 20, a junior at Alabama, and then 23, my oldest daughter is in grad school back here in Birmingham and as an occupational therapist.
Wow. Yeah. So all the ages.
Okay. Yeah, all the ages. What about you?
I have one that is 22, just graduated from the University of Texas. I have one that is 18, and he's at A&M University, which, for those of you that don't live in the Texas area, those are huge rivals.
So, I was about to say, yeah, you're like the, that's like the Alabama-Auburn right there.
Yeah, exactly. Yes. So, and then my youngest, brace yourself, is in third grade. So out of college, in college, in third grade.
That's awesome.
A late adoption from foster care, the little one, and he is for sure going to keep me humble and on my toes and close to the Lord.
Yes. So, if you weren't already a prayer warrior, you will be now.
Absolutely. Okay, so we were thinking about this and topics, and you had suggested, you're like, let's talk about soft skills with our kids, something that we overlook. And I thought that was really a brilliant thing to consider, because of all the things we focus on, we don't focus, or I didn't, I don't know, did you, on these soft skills like maybe we should? And I read an article yesterday that was talking about how with the rise of AI, that soft skills are going to be the differentiators. And so they were saying, and we'll define soft skills and hard skills, but that, your resume, your measurable things will get you the job, but your soft skills will get you the promotions. They will get you the better job. And so I thought that, wow, like that's something we should consider. So good call, Carrie Kampakis.
Yes. I'm ahead of my times.
Totally.
Well, it's so true. And this become one of my biggest messages for girls. And I can say that after parenting for 23 years, and I'm sure you're seeing this, you know, my oldest daughter and her friends and the girls that I started writing for, you know, with my first book, they're now out of college and getting jobs and going to grad school. And you start noticing, you're like, who's getting jobs? Who's getting into med school? Like, who's seeing these doors open? And so many times, again and again, you're seeing that it is the soft skills. And I'm not saying that the numbers don't matter, because, you know, if you're applying to med school, you know, you've got to have a certain criteria, and you know, you've got to meet a certain bar. But when you have 1,000 people or 5,000 people applying for 36 spots or 72 spots or whatever it is in a program, what's going to send somebody over the top are those immeasurable things like just personality, you know, optimism, just a fun person to be around, a great outlook on life, resilience, just those soft skills. And as a young mom, I never thought about that.
Yeah,
you don't realize that you're building it just as your children are growing social skills and how they're going to need those skills. And it could be the game changer down the road.
Yeah, I think an advantage I have now of parenting a little one after having adult kids, like I actually get to look at it differently and I have a different lens. And I would say one of the main things I look at now, like from a different lens from my first two, is that what seems most important in the moment when it comes to parenting almost never is.
Yeah,
like
that's
seems
so good.
Like always the most important thing is, you know, getting on the right soccer team, being in the right friend group, making sure they're included in this or that, or that this particular tutor or whatever your things are that you think, and not that those things don't matter, but now knowing what I know, those things, they have a shelf life, and what doesn't have a shelf life is character and kindness and work ethic and perseverance and all these soft skills. Like, those don't have a shelf life. Those are the things that they matter long term. And so I love that we're talking about it. Let's kind of define it. And by the way, I don't know if you did, Carrie, but I didn't like do some huge research into the actual definition. I'm just going off of kind of things I've read and what I think it is. But do you have in your mind, like, what is a soft skill versus what is not a soft skill?
Yeah, you know, I think it's just those things we can't measure, like a great personality, somebody who just likes people and is good with people, just those social skills. Coachability is huge. Mm-hmm. You know, you talk to any coach. I know so many people who are very successful coaches. They're like, I'd much rather have an average athlete with a great attitude than a star who is entitled.
You know,
nobody wants a know-it-all. Nobody wants somebody who's not coachable, whether that is a team or a classroom or wherever you are or business. And I just think, you know, and even recently I was talking to a friend and we were talking about a guy that we both knew from college. And I was like, oh yeah. I was like, I remember him. My friend, her husband is friends with this guy. And I was like, yeah, I remember him. He was 2 years younger than me, but he was always just like a great personality, so fun to talk to. And she's like, yes, that personality has taken him far, that her son had actually interned for him this summer, and he's killing it. He is making a fortune. But she's like, he doesn't do the work. You know, he's other people doing the work behind the scenes, but he's the face man. You know, he's the one, the personality. And her son was like, Mom, you should see him with clients. He is amazing.
Wow.
And I'm like, I believe it. Like, that was the first thing I said about him. He had a great personality. He was just so likable. He, you know, was the type of person, even in college, you're talking to him, would remember your name, seemed genuinely interested in you. Mm-hmm. You know, as a girl, not like from a flirtatious standpoint.
Right.
My little sister actually went out with him some, so I knew him that way. But anyway, it was just very interesting to hear that.
Yeah. Well, and I think, especially as Christians, as moms that are believers, and we care about the long term and we care about the eternal things. At the end of the day, the things that are not measurable are usually the most God-honoring things our kids will do on any given day.
That's good.
Obviously, it matters what my kids' ACT score is. If our kids go to college, if they don't, that's great too. Mm-hmm. But that matters, and their grade point matters, and maybe how fast they can run around the track. Like, those are all measurable things, and it's not that they're insignificant, but as believers, the things we want most from our kids, the most God-honoring things on any given day, are not measurable.
Yes.
And that's like, be nice to the kid in the cafeteria. Be respectful of the teacher when others aren't. Take yourself off of the text thread that is unkind or whatever's going on. Like, there's a million ways that our kids every day can do the most God-honoring thing that matters that is not measurable, but it's important. And so we, as a culture, we don't reward those things. Like, I'm not going to make the Instagram post and be like, hey, everyone, my kid took themselves off a mean text thread. Like,
right.
That's weird.
Right.
And you're not going to get called to the front of the cafetorium for the big award because, hey, just so you know, they've been sitting by someone in the cafeteria. Like, that doesn't happen. And so we have to care about those things.
Yes.
We have to emphasize those things.
And celebrate them.
And celebrate them as moms. And they not only... yes, they're God-honoring and they have eternal impact, but they also, as we're seeing here, they're the soft skills that actually make a difference for the longevity of their life. So,
And I've been thinking too, this is why I think grandparents and that older generation are so important because they get it. And I was telling Harry the other day, it's like, it's really a shame that when you become a parent, you don't know any of this. You really don't know what is so important to instill. But at this point in time, I have such a clear vision. You do too. I'm like, I cannot wait to be a grandparent, to be able to do these things that you realize intentionally that are so important. And, you know, even the gratitude, like every year at Halloween, you know, Harry and I, our life is so different now because it used to be Halloween, we were chasing kids around the neighborhood, could barely keep up, right? But 2 years ago, I'll never forget, we were sitting on our front porch swing. We're that couple now. We just sit on the swing and pass out candy and watch all the young kids and families. And a lot of the kids have their grandparents with them too.
Yeah.
And there's this one little boy. He came up our driveway, got some candy, went back down, and he was with his grandfather. And his grandfather leaned over very patiently, whispered in his ear, and kind of pointed to us. He made the little boy go all the way back up the driveway and tell us thank you. And it just hit me. I'm like, this is why we need grandparents. I was like, as a young mom, I knew that was important, but I didn't have time to make my kids do that. My other child was running down the street and I had to go chase after them.
Yeah.
But like now I'm like, he is teaching that boy just such a crucial, the soft skills that, you know, could make the difference in him getting the job or him seeing that door open. you know, the things that he wants to happen.
Yeah. Yeah. Which is, by the way, me, I'm grandparenting my youngest child.
Exactly.
Or at least the other moms in the classroom, when they see me, are like, ooh, it must be grandmother. I'm like, no, I'm not, but I just look like it. Thank you.
Yes.
Well, let's hit a couple of them. There's so many that you've already mentioned that we could cover, but you and I thought we would talk about a couple that came to mind. And so we were going to address this a little bit as, me being a boy mom, although I do have a daughter too, but raising two boys and you coming at it from a girl mom perspective. And so that'll kind of ring true in what we're saying as we go through this. But let's start with communication and conflict.
Yes.
And really conflict resolution, right, is what we're talking about.
Yes.
And so let's I was thinking about this, like boys versus girls and how they communicate and how they handle conflict and how important it is to really to focus on those things. And I think with boys, and everyone's different, but it's especially showing up for my son right now. I sent a girl to college first and I was like, oh, devastated. I mean, just can't believe she won't be in our home. And then she called every 12 minutes for the next 4 years and I knew everything going on. And I was like, Right. Oh, it wasn't so bad. But now I've sent a boy to college. And I think this kind of speaks to how this plays out with communication. Like, he's great, but I hear from him when he needs something. Not in a bad way, but we'll talk about other things. But
right.
He's very, there's a like goal-oriented in his way he communicates. Like, he needs to know something, get something, ask something, and then we have other, and that's okay. But
right.
Talk to us just a little bit about that. Like, if we're talking about soft skills, let's talk about communication first, I guess, with our kids and how important that is. And with girls, how do we do this well practically with any of our kids? But
yeah, you know, especially with girls, girls are so relationship driven. Mm-hmm. And I mean, I would say 99% of the emails that I get from girls and moms about the heartaches they're facing, it all boils down to relationships and usually their friendships.
Yeah.
And they're struggling in friendships. And I think one thing that they're really struggling is conflict resolution. And, you know, sadly, we live in this age of disposable friendships. We live in an age where people are just writing off their friends and even their family members left and right and, you know, calling everyone toxic. And, you know, some people are toxic, but I'm like, not everybody is toxic. And the sad thing is what I see, as I see that we're going to have a generation of boys and girls who like have no long-term relationships because they don't know which relationships are worth fighting for. They don't know how to resolve conflict. But, you know, my friends and I have talked about this, like, I don't think anybody can have a long-term relationship without some season that's hard or some season where you wonder, will we be friends again or will we get through this? Like, you've got to learn how to get through those seasons. And, you know, nobody teaches us conflict resolution. But one of my big messages, because it's probably mostly moms listening, is like, you know, when you and your daughter fight or you and your son fight, you know, you really can look at that as an opportunity. Like, that is your chance to teach them how to argue well, how to be respectful, how to be able to state your point but not burn bridges. Mm-hmm. And know that, you know, it's actually the perfect place for our kids to learn that because they're not going to lose our love, you know, like they might a friend's love. And, you know, when we really can teach them that conflict resolution skill, we're really setting them up to win in all their relationships. Mm-hmm. And even I've heard it said that in marriage, the number one predictor of whether a marriage will last is how well the couple can work through conflict.
Wow.
And as John Gottman said that, he's like the expert on marriage and relationships. And so, you know, when I read that, I think, you know, if we teach them how to do that well under our roof, coach them in that, then we're setting them up to win in their marriage and their career, everything, because we all know adults who have lost jobs or spouses or friends because they just blow up or they just, you know, write people off and they don't know how to resolve conflict.
Yeah. And it seems like, and this is, again, I'm overgeneralizing, but with boys, I think they, with communication and or conflict, I think they tend to withdraw more.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas girls, I think, and tell me if you agree with this, but I think they tend to overreact or get into it too soon without really assessing the situation. Do you think that's
yes,
right?
Yes. I think they can let their emotions take control. And
yeah.
Emotional regulation is huge.
Right.
And even like I would tell my girls when they were growing up, I'm like, you know, when they're getting feisty or spicy with me. And I'm like, I get it. And I'm like, you know, there are days, you know, especially at that time of the month. I mean, like, I remember there are days I wanted to claw somebody's eyes out, you know, and but you've got to have that self-awareness to be like, you know, maybe I don't need to be around people today. Or I need to apologize. I need to tell them in advance that I'm just in a bad mood. I'm like, I could be easily triggered. Just having that self-awareness. And then if you do blow up, don't make a habit of that. Go back, circle back around, repair what you just did, apologize and own up to it. And, you know, most of us are not taught this. I was never taught this.
Mm-mm.
And I share the story all the time. I shared in my new book that, you know, when I was growing up, we grew up in a family of five kids. We were not taught how to resolve conflict.
Right.
If we got in a fight, my sisters and I just didn't speak for 3 days. And then when we started talking, it was assumed to be over. So that was what I brought into my parenting, and it started causing a lot of problems with my daughter. So I had to learn to go back and circle back around, be the first one to own up to my responsibility, my mistake. And it was so worth it. That's what led me to write Love Her Well, because I'm like, I'm not losing my relationship with my daughter. And I know that I will if I don't learn how to resolve this conflict and get through the arguing. So
Yeah. And so practically speaking, I think if we can help our kids learn to listen mm-hmm. first, right before you speak, own your part, like you're saying. Ask questions, like get curious about what the conflict is, what's going on. I think that's something mm-hmm. I've tried to really work with my kids, with my boys in particular, to help and encourage them to invest when it would be easier to withdraw mm-hmm. or move on, to really invest in people. But I would say one other thing that I think my mom taught me well, that I hope my kids learn, is that it's in friendship and really just in our relationships. It's not all about you.
Yes.
And so there are times when maybe it would be easier. And I'm not talking about toxic relationships where we need to get out of some of those. But there's lots of hard relationships that we still need to be in.
Yes.
That our kids still
good.
Need to be in. That
yes.
it's not all about your ease, your comfort, and your fun. That sometimes, as especially as believers, like, listen, we need to be, I always refer to it as carrying the mat, like the paralytic in the Bible, that the buddies carried him on his mat to Jesus.
Yes.
Like, we are called to carry some mats.
Yes.
And we don't need to be setting the mat down because we got offended, or they didn't, you know, they asked my friend out, or they didn't invite me to this. Like, don't set down the mat too early. Your call is to bring people before Jesus.
Yes.
And that requires that we are persistent and that we do the hard things. And so in relationships, as we communicate and we work through conflict resolution, I think remembering sometimes that, like, at the end of the day, it isn't about us. It's about something much larger than us, and where they are in their faith walk and their spiritual life, and their where their eternity lies, and how we can be a witness to other people around us by how we resolve conflict.
Yeah, I love that. And I also think it's good for our kids, like going back to the self-awareness, like it's really good to know, help them understand that people are different, and conflicts really can lead to a lot, can help you become closer actually, because you learn about the person. Mm-hmm. So say you and I, you know, we're best friends, and say you like to tease me at lunch. And you're tough, you know, you don't get your feelings hurt easily. And so you tease me and you think it's funny, because if somebody was doing that to you, you would laugh at it.
Right.
It wouldn't hurt your feelings. But I'm a very sensitive soul. And so, like, when you're doing it, it just hurts me. Mm-hmm. And I'm just cringing and I'm embarrassed. And so, but you don't know that because that's not your personality. And so to be able to go back to the person, like, say in that situation, you know, not to do it necessarily in front of everyone, but to say, hey, you know, I love you and I don't want to lose our relationship, and that's why I want to say something. But mm-hmm. when you tease me at lunch, it really hurts my mm-hmm. feelings. And then you would hopefully say, oh, I'm so sorry. I had no idea.
Yeah.
And that leads to a whole new conversation where you're learning about each other. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that's one thing I will say, having 4 kids, that, you know, really was helpful, because they have so many different personality traits. And, you know, I did have some that were sensitive and some that were more thick-skinned. And I'm like, y'all are here to learn from each other.
Mm-hmm.
And they really did. And I would have so many conversations like, this might not hurt your feelings, but it hurts your sister's feelings. Mm-hmm. And so you need to be aware of that. And there'll be other people like that. And then the one who was really sensitive, like, you know, we got to learn how to have a tender heart, but a thick skin, because people are going to be even more hurtful than what your sister said. You know, like, you're going to face something. And that's just the reality of a broken world. And so just really teaching our kids those skills, and, like, trying to look at the person, that look at the situation through their perspective, even if you don't agree with it, mm-hmm. but to understand down the road, you know, okay, that's her. That's going to hurt her feelings. I'm not going to tease her about that.
Yeah, because in your example, there's not a right or wrong or a black and white. Like,
mm-hmm.
it's just differences in how we're created and how we interact. And it may be that what works in your home is working in your home, but when you go to college, you're going to see all personalities. And
yes.
when you leave the home, you go in a workplace, like, your boss doesn't care that you get your feelings hurt when, you know, they're a little this way or that way. Like,
right.
You have to figure out how that works. So
yes.
I love that you're saying, let's do it at home, and let's start by how we resolve conflict within our home and
mm-hmm.
even our girl friendships. And I think we'll get to this later, but as
That's
women,
good.
How are we resolving conflict with our friends? And so
That's
I think we'll
so
get to
good.
That when we get down a little further in. Okay. Soft skill number 2. Adaptability and resilience. I don't know if I did this well with my kids. Do you feel like you did this well with yours?
I don't think so. I mean, I know I wasn't intentional with it.
Me neither.
But I do think they developed these skills just because of the hard things they went through, yeah. Which is something I wish I'd known as a mom. Because as a young mom, you just want their life to be perfect. Mm-hmm. But you realize when you look back over the 20 years, you're like, gosh, what really shaped them and helped them become awesome were a lot of the hard things that they went through.
Yeah, because we want to rescue. We want to solve it. We want to make the roads easier for them, right? And
right.
It's so well-intentioned. And it's an easy way to build this soft skill, this adaptability and resilience, is to not do those things. Are there occasions, of course, where we step in, where we need to be a part of that? But I read that there was Harvard research done saying the strongest predictor of resilience is kids having one stable, supportive adult relationship. Mm-hmm. And I think that's interesting. Like, if that's what creates resilient kids, we can do that. It mm-hmm. didn't say that the predictor was strong parental figure that goes in and fixes it, a strong parental figure
right.
that stands up for them. It doesn't say that. And so I feel like we can be that at home, but still allow them to walk rocky roads and flex that little muscle of resilience and adaptability.
Exactly. And I'm reminded of a quote from Tim Keller. He was talking about marriage, but he basically was saying that marriage is a profound shock absorber when you face adversities in life. And he's like, being married, having a healthy marriage, you'll recover your equilibrium faster. Mm-hmm. And I thought, that is true for every healthy relationship. Like, we can overcome and get through anything if we've got, one, our faith, and then, two, solid people in our corner. Mm-hmm. And I always tell moms, too, when your daughter's going through a hard time, think back on the dark seasons in your life. You know, it wasn't a posse of 10 friends who got you through it. It was usually one or two key people. It might have been a friend, but it might also have been your grandmother or your dad or your mom or whoever, like some key figure. And our kids are the same way. Like, they don't need 10 people, you know, helping them get through a hard time. Like, don't underestimate the value of what you bring to the table as a strong and resilient mom teaching your kids that skill.
Yeah, yeah. Let's talk on a practical level if we want to, again, build up this muscle of adaptability and resilience. I was just thinking through this in my own life with my kids, but and I should have done this better, but forcing them to do things they're not good at, mm-hmm. I think is one of those things. I have one, well, my daughter in particular, she's very, very athletic. And so she loved sports. And I feel like all we did was sports, but I realized at some point she avoided all the other things. Like, even recently we were at a wedding and she's not a dancer. She's not a good dancer at all. Doesn't like we were at a wedding and she didn't want to dance, like just for fun out there, but he's dancing, having a good time. She's like, oh, I'm just not a good dancer. And I was like, who cares? Like, go up. Like, and
right.
So I think that's part of this, having this adaptability, this resilience, is also saying, like, we're going to do some things that aren't natural to us, that maybe we're not good at, and praise effort and not outcome.
Yeah.
Hey friends, can I introduce you to our newest podcast sponsor, Time for Learning? And Time for Learning supports a flexible, personalized homeschool experience for your family. What I love is it's an all-in-one curriculum. It's online and everything you need to teach pre-K all the way to 12th grade. And flexibility, I mean, that's the key here. You can travel, you can explore your kids' passions and hobbies without the constraints of traditional school hours. And so you can get started with a monthly plan to see if it's right for your family. And multiple students, yep, you can do that. You can save up to 30% by opting for an annual plan. And they also have stay on track features, which is templates for transcripts, grades, diplomas, just makes it easy to match the homeschool requirements in all 50 states. And get this, they have been in business 20 years and served over 1 million students. What I also love and what I plan on doing in my house, it's a great way if you don't homeschool, just to supplement. Things you can do in the afternoon, you can do it over the summer to bridge gaps. And so I'm excited about doing that with my youngest. So check it out. If you're curious if Time for Learning is right for your family, visit timeforlearning.com. That's time, number four, learning.com to explore their curriculum and find the perfect plan for your student. You can get started with a monthly subscription to see just how much your kids enjoy learning on their own terms.
This is the new Weight Watchers. It works for members like JoJo, who's learning simple, healthy habits, Sharia, who's making progress with meds, and Kim, who still gets to eat what she loves. For over 60 years, we've helped millions of members find what works for them. Now, it's your turn. Watch your life open up. Watch your story shift. Watch what you're capable of. Watch it work. Get started today at WeightWatchers.com.
It reminds me of Adam Grant, who is one of my favorite thought leaders, but he said that every year he tries to do something or he attempts a new goal that he knows he probably can't reach. Like he sets himself up to do something where he will probably fail, just to keep himself in that habit of getting outside of his comfort zone and pushing himself.
Yeah.
And something else I thought about, and I just think that this is what can we do as parents, is just sometimes just being there. Like you said, we cannot fix a situation, but we can change their perspective of a situation. Mm-hmm. And one thing I've been working on this week, and it has ended up being the biggest blessing to me. I thought, I almost dreaded working on it because I knew it was going to take a lot of time, but my dad's about to turn 90. And so we're doing this photo book for him. And so I've been getting all the nephews and nieces and my siblings and spouses, like everybody, to send me a picture of them with my dad and then also a story about him. And I have cried so many times what these grandkids are writing about him, because my dad is that strong, resilient figure. Like, he is my role model and like how I want to be as I get older and try to still be a support system to my girls. But my nephew's was my favorite. There's this picture. He's in a baseball uniform with my dad, and he's smiling. He's got this huge smile on his face. And he's like, I debated which memory to share because I have so many great memories with you, Papa. But he chose this one because that day he'd had the worst game of his life. Mm-hmm. And he said, I felt like the biggest failure, and I just wanted to go into my hotel room and lock myself up and never come out. And he said, I didn't even want to take that picture. And so he's like, what happened after the game? And my dad was a great athlete. He was played for the Cleveland Indians, wow, University of Alabama, all that. But anyway, so he loved sports and he was always there for his games. But my nephew said, well, you know, what happened after the game was, you know, y'all all walked up to me. And he goes, I'll never forget how you smiled, you threw your arm around me, and with calm intensity, you said, you'll get them next time. And he said, that was exactly what I needed. You know, everybody else was trying to hype me up or make me feel better or tell me what I could have done differently. And he's like, you were the one who gave me the direction I needed. It's like you could see the future. And I found such reassurance in that vision that you had. Wow. And I thought, that's what builds resilient kids. Mm-hmm. And I love it. It was my favorite story in the whole book.
I love that.
You know, and so you just never know that, you know, when your kids do fail, they have those disappointments. Mm-hmm. That's our opportunity to really shine as a parent. Mm-hmm. And I don't know about you, but I can say this. I have a lot of friends who have lost parents. Like, I'm just in that season where people have lost their mothers and their fathers. And one trend that I'm seeing again and again and again is that when someone loses a parent, the core memory that usually comes back first is how that parent handled a huge disappointment or failure in the child's life.
Wow.
I'm just seeing it. Like, I mean, this like what keeps coming back is like, how the parent loved them through that, or how they helped them, you know, find their strength when they didn't have that strength of their own.
Yeah.
And so I think, you know, God, this matters, how we handle their lowest moments. It's really an opportunity for us to set that blueprint and give them that perspective that could totally change everything.
Yeah. That's interesting too with the funerals. I love that. I think about one of my sons that had a really hard time in school, from the time he was really little. And I literally would walk the neighborhood with one of my friends who's actually sitting in the room that's here with me. And we would just pray and pray and pray. And I would beg God to take away the learning difference he had. I mean, I just was like, Lord, I know in a moment you could do this. And I would pray and pray and pray. And the Lord didn't. And he struggled hard through school, got through. I mean, he's in college now, but I mean, struggled. And it's interesting because now I know without a doubt, the very things I prayed for him were the things God has used the most in his life to make him the kid he is now, the young adult. I mean, he is compassionate. He is kind. He's empathetic. And more than anything, he is hardworking, because he's always had to be, because it was never easy. Mm-hmm. And the way that he has this empathy for other kids that struggle, even if it's not academic, in whatever way, I mean, these things. And the other thing is, he just keeps going. Even when things are stacked up against him, he just keeps going. It's resilience,
yes,
right? It's adaptability. And it's the very thing I tried, the thing I tried to pray out of him was the thing God was using the most to make him who he is today. And so I would just say, as parents, like, those things that you're praying over your kids, that hard road that you're trying to get the Lord to take away, listen, I'm with you. I want the Lord to take the hard roads away. But I believe that's building the very soft skills and those God-given characteristics we want in them. So,
yes.
Okay, should we go to our third one?
Yes.
What's our third one?
Our third soft skill is empathy and kindness.
Oh, and it feels like this should be natural, and everyone's like, yes. I mean, academically, we all want kids that are empathetic and kind.
Mm-hmm.
But are we raising empathetic and kind kids? I hear stories day in, day out that tell me
that prove otherwise.
Yeah.
Yes, I do too.
So what are your thoughts on this? Are we doing this well? Are we not?
And you know, I think I think one thing that's working against us is that we live in a culture of child-centered parenting. And I've been as guilty as any other parent of making my child the center of the universe.
Yep.
And what I see is that I think a lot of parents, you know, worry about their child and they're pouring everything into their child, but they're not teaching their child to think about others. Mm. And even with friendships, I tell girls, I was like, everybody wants great friends. Everybody wants kind friends. Everybody's looking for that. But not everybody's putting that same effort into becoming that friend themselves. Mm. And so, yeah, that's what I think is preventing empathy, is that people are just very self-centered and self-focused. And if you've ever had a friendship with somebody who's like that, you just know that it's never going to go very deep. You just know, you hold that friendship for what it is. You know that they're going to be a taker, you're a giver, and it's just never going to be very deep. And that's not where you need to invest all your time and energy. But if we want kids to have that empathy and the kindness, we got to teach them how to think about somebody else's feelings.
Yeah. I was saying to someone the other day, having raised a girl and boys now, give me a mean boy day in and day out. I mean, I prefer it wasn't my child, but a mean boy in general versus the mean girl situation, 10 out of 10. Because mean boys, and again, I'm overgeneralizing, but mean boys, they can be physical. Maybe they're bullies, that kind of thing. But it's, you can see it. You can put your finger on it.
Yes.
You know what it is.
Yes.
It's so different with girls because there's, and I've had them in my life, mean girls, and I'm like, I can't even tell you in a statement what makes it mean and hurtful.
Right,
I mean, I'm not sure, but I know
it's
it when I see
feeling.
It.
It's a feeling. Yes, it's a feeling.
And
it's a feeling where you know, okay, I know what I'm dealing with her, and I got to keep my guard up. You know, you just got to be smart. You can be kind. You can be friendly, but you can't let them have too much information.
Right. And so as we're trying to raise girls and boys that are empathetic and kind, like practically speaking, like this is one of those things I think, especially back to what we started at the top of this show talking about, it's one of those things that doesn't seem most important in the moment, but it is. And I've seen it, like when my kid didn't get to play in the final quarter of the biggest basketball game, how Mike and I respond to that in the car, or what we say to the coach if he talks to us later. Like those moments right there is where we're modeling what it looks like to be kind. And under pressure, under stress, all, you know, what we say when we don't agree with how the teacher had this assignment in the group project and you got in a bad group. Are we kind? Are we empathetic to the kids that got put in the group that maybe are not the strongest in the class? Like, how are we talking about? Day out opportunities to show empathy and kindness. Like, this isn't, I think where I fell short is I wanted to have a conversation around it. Yanoffs are kind people. We are going to be empathetic. Like, stop talking about it and let's start doing it and valuing it and placing emphasis on it in our home. And I think that swings the pendulum.
Yes. Yeah. And I think also just teaching them to serve, to have a servant's heart. Mm-hmm. And that could look like, let's go visit the grandparents. I don't want to visit the grandparents. Well, we're going to, you know, she's really down right now. Like she, you know, can't walk right now, or she's just, she has a health ailment. Like, you have no idea how much joy you can bring your grandparent just by showing up and just teaching them, like, think about how your grandparent feels and remember all the games that they've showed up for you. And, and remember all the times that they've shown up for you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Do you think, and this is maybe, without trying to be controversial or ugly or anything, but do you think mean girls come from mean moms? Is that a true statement?
A lot of times. Yeah.
More often than not?
I would say a lot of times. You also see sometimes the girls that are really mean, their moms are really kind. I don't know. So it kind of depends. But a lot of the times, especially what I see is that girls who are very gossipy, their moms gossip a lot. But the ones that they just talk about people constantly, their moms are the same way.
Yeah.
And so, and I think that, and that's something that I can look back and I'm like, I'm so thankful my mom was not like that. Like, my mom truly loved her friends. She was not the person who would throw her friends under the bus when they weren't around. And that just, you know, that always went, so when I started seeing that in college and beyond, that just seemed so, so abnormal to me. I'm like, what? Like, that, that doesn't make sense. And she was not gossipy. You know, she wasn't always talking about everybody else. I think that's so important for us to model as moms, because that's a big problem. And I know girls in the teenage years, in the college years, and they're now getting smart enough. Like, you know what? I do not like being with this group, or I like this friend one-on-one, but I don't like how she acts in a group because she just gets so gossipy. And then my other friends who I love, they get gossipy too, and it creates that whole dynamic.
Yeah, yeah. And I would say for boys, I think, yes, they have some of those same struggles, but more often it's I think helping them have self-awareness of what's going on around them. I think a lot of times I've seen it with boys, with my sons and their friends. They're not trying to be mean, exclude people. They just don't see that person. Like, you're not on the football team, so we didn't invite you to the party because we're at the football. Helping them be aware of the fact that there is a world outside of your world, and there's people. And so having, sometimes the boys maybe aren't as catty sometimes as maybe my daughter's been or whatever, but just doesn't see the world outside of himself, and saying like, listen, that's actually not kind when you don't do this, or, you know, are you noticing that you're showing a lack of empathy? That kid never got to play on the team and ended up quitting. If you reached out to that kid and having those kind of intentional conversations. So
yeah, that's so good.
Okay. We're running out of time. So we're going to just mention the last one, but what do you think about this, Carrie? What about on this last one? We'll give a quick overview. And then what if we write up something, we'll put on both our social and everybody can kind of look at that. Talking about perseverance and work ethic.
Yes. Soft skill number four, perseverance and work ethic.
Okay. Here's the overview I was thinking about. I saw a CNBC article that said that perseverance and work ethic is a higher predictor of success than IQ.
Wow. That's amazing.
Right? And so listen, it makes me think of a Tom Brady quote I've used before, and I'm not a huge Patriots fan. I'm a Dallas Cowboys fan, which is real. Yeah, it's really it's depressing. It's real hard to be that.
Y'all look good, though.
Yeah, well,
got a good show.
Yeah, we try. But Tom Brady, they were asking about just being this like Hall of Fame quarterback that's done everything. He's the GOAT of all quarterbacks. And he's like, listen, it's like anything. To be successful, you don't have to be special. You just have to be what most people aren't. Consistent, determined, and willing to work for it.
Mm-hmm.
And that just, I've talked to my kids so many times about that. I'm like, there will always be someone smarter. There will always be someone more connected. Mm-hmm. All things. But you can control. Don't get outworked. Don't get, you know, that perseverance, that grit.
Yes.
That work ethic. And so thoughts on that as a mom of girls?
Oh, huge. You know, and I guess I look back for myself. Nothing ever came easily to me. I was not the sharpest tool in the toolbox.
Same.
And so
same.
I struggled in school when I was younger. And so I made great grades as I got older, but I had to work. And it was always so frustrating to me because I had to work so much harder than my friends in high school and college. I feel like everything I do, even writing, I mean, I have friends who can write a book in 6 weeks or just whip it out. And I'm like, it takes me abnormally long to do anything. But what is the upside of that is it's made me a very hard worker, mm-hmm. and it has really fed my work ethic. And so I try to pass that on to my girls, and you know, none of them are prodigies. They've all done well in school, but it's because they work hard.
Yeah.
And when they feel that frustration, like I try so hard, and my friends, it just comes more easily to them. Or, you know, they have a great GPA, but, you know, one or two might struggle with the standardized testing. And I'm like, you know what? I would much rather you have the high GPA than the high ACT, because your GPA reflects your work ethic.
Mm-hmm.
Your ACT, I was like, I have friends whose kids get a very high ACT, but their GPA does not match it because they're lazy. Mm-hmm. They're very smart, but they don't have to work very hard. So I was like, I would much rather you have to have that work ethic and that grit, because it's going to take you so much further in life.
Yeah, yeah. My husband says to my little one, he's a little bit of a giver-upper.
Mm-hmm.
If it gets hard, he's like, I'm done. I'm out. And so almost every day, Michael say, hey, what's your name? And he says, JB Yanoff. And he's like, what do you do? And he says, hard things. And then he says, what do you not do? And JB says, don't give up.
I love that.
And
that's
he kind of
awesome.
Has this mantra with him, because he's so quick to give up on things. And I mm-hmm. think this is something that we can have. One of those places where maybe a mantra works in our home.
Yes.
Not only are we going to actually do the hard things, we're going to do hard things ourselves and have a work ethic and persevere through the hard things. We live in a culture that's like, don't do it if it's hard.
Yes.
We're going to do them ourselves. But I also think it's a place where a good mantra works of like, hey, we're Yanoffs, like we're Kompakis, like we're going to do the things
mm-hmm.
because God will call you to hard things that you're not good at. And he will call you to things that are discouraging and defeating, like writing books and everything in between, raising kids.
Yes.
And we got to keep showing up. Like that's how it works.
And those are really the things that grow your faith. You know, when you know I'm not good at this, and then you see yourself improving, or you see yourself do it well, like, well, I know that was not me because I know my ability.
Yeah.
I know that was God coming through. I know that was the Holy Spirit working through me. And that helps us stay humble and not take credit for these things that we might like to take credit for, because we have to realize our weaknesses to realize how much we really need and depend on God.
Mm, that's so good. All right. I'm going to promise something that who knows if it happens, but I'm going to loosely promise everyone, Carrie and I, when these come out, we'll have just a quick little, Carrie's carousel slides on this. They kind of summarize them, and we'll hit the perseverance and work ethic a little bit harder and add a little bit more to that. And hopefully that'll give you something to kind of keep in mind as we think through soft skills. But
yeah, and I think that we should create a document or like a printable.
Let's
what you just said, what you do for your son, that people can write in, let their child write in their name, write in all the answers.
Okay, that's why she's Carrie Compacts, everybody, okay?
My mind's spinning.
Yeah, she's got a PDF in the works, people. So, all right, this is fun, friend.
I know. Thank you. Great conversation.
We're doing another one, guys.
That's right.
Two in a row. All right, thanks, Carrie. All right, I hope you enjoyed that with Carrie Compacts. And next week, we have another show with her. Another item of business, if you are not following me on social, will you do that so that we can all keep up and I can share some of the things going on? And I would love for you to share this show. Just forward the link to your friends, your group chats. That would be amazing. Keep growing the show. So thanks for being a part of the Mesmerized family. You guys, you're the very